The rest of us, as we're standing, we'd like to open up the Gospel of Matthew this morning. Matthew chapter 7, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount slowly, but I think in a most blessed way. And today we're going to talk about the truth about judging. When I said the truth, I mean, I just spit some water out, so don't judge me, okay? Here we go. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you judge, it will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, and you do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Good morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. And I thank you for your word. And I thank you, God, for the blessing of being able to go through the word, not to pick and choose. We need all that you've communicated to us through the Holy Scriptures. And we're so thankful that even today we're able to look at what you have to say about judging and how it affects us personally, how it affects our family, how it affects our fellowship and our life. As we sang in that last song, to be free by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, the work of Christ, we don't want to hinder that freedom because of some critical judging going on in our lives. Help us understand what the Spirit has to say in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So obviously this week, studying about the topic that we're on right now, a couple of days ago, my wife and I, aren't you always pretty much in a hurry no matter where you're going? It just never seems to be enough time. And as we were driving, and she goes, what are you doing? Because I made a quick right turn without a whole lot of notice, and I saw a little shop I wanted to stop into because I was looking for a specific item I needed, and I knew that they would have it. I've never been in that store before. It's a small store, and the fellow working was sitting behind a desk, a lower desk, and so I found the product on a rack pretty close to where he was at, but I'm a curious guy that has a lot of questions, so I think this is the one I want, but I was asking him a few questions about which product that I wanted to get. There were several of them. Wasn't familiar. And I was hoping that he would just like hop right up and just help me out. I'm going to spend some money here right now, but he didn't. And so as I'm trying to look, and he's watching me, and he goes, hey, that's probably the good one. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's easy for you to say. I mean, it'd be nice, you know, a little customer service here or whatever. So that's what's going on in my heart and mind. So it can't come off because it's got a hook on it because it's an alarm. You got to deactivate something. So I went over to where he was comfortably sitting, and I says, I'll happily take that off if you like. I mean, even some scissors or whatever. I mean, I'll do that. The thing is when I went to where he was sitting, he's in a wheelchair. Yeah, right. Do you think I didn't just crush to the floor? And all I hear is the words I'm studying, judge not. Judge not. You're such a judger, PT. Yeah, you're right. And so I just was broken with compassion, because not just in the chair, but I could tell that there was some motor skills. His mind was fine and everything. And I was just thinking, God, I mean, any of us could be, what it must be like to be so limited in what he's doing. He did it great. I mean, I just like overly thanked him and tried to, I want to clean his floor and everything. I mean, it just was so, it's like, you know how you feel. And the Lord is saying, that'll help you understand that many times we make decisions or judgment based on not enough information, based on just a certain perspective, but not the full picture. And when we're looking at these scriptures today and we've been studying the Sermon on the Mount, we realize It is such a blessing to know the Lord, right? Isn't it great to know the Lord? To know that he loves you? To know that he has a plan, a purpose, and a desire for your life? Isn't that a blessing that he gives you hope and a sense of love? He forgives our sins, and even in our weaknesses, in our confusion, you know he's going to help us through, right? And we want to do, I believe we want to serve him. And as we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, it's like, I'm learning with you. I'm just learning more about how much I need God, and I'm learning more of how he wants to work, and understanding prayer in a greater way, and understanding just what it is to give my life to God. And I believe that's true. And he's writing, he's communicating this, he's giving this message. Jesus is giving the message. It's been written for our benefit. He's given this message, but he comes to a point in chapter 7 now, and he's saying, in a sense, I know that that's probably your desire. Let's go for it. Let's serve God. But there's a conflict that takes place. And the Lord is so honest for us. The Word of God honestly teaches us. It honestly shows us a conflict, a struggle within our lives. And it's a struggle with judging. Now, I live in the same world that you live in, and I've been excited about following Jesus, hearing that almost 40 years ago, follow me. I want to follow him in a greater way every year. But as I've been around and you've been around, you know that there's scriptures out there that those who have yet to come to Christ, the unbelievers, they're their favorite scriptures, or severely backslidden Christians. Their favorite scriptures are, don't judge me. Who are you to judge? So doesn't the Bible say, God says, you shall not judge, right? So that's one of them. Another one I hear, well, let he without sin cast the first stone. Another one I hear, didn't Jesus say, neither do I condemn you? And another one, God's love. And all of those, certainly, those words, those phrases, those sentences are in the Bible, absolutely. But they're stated in such a way that it builds a wall and it protects somebody from the intrusion, which I believe would be the Holy Spirit intrusion of conviction of sin. Are you following me with this? Okay. So I believe that you share with me what the Bible is talking about regarding unconditional love. Do you believe? I believe that the Bible says, I am, as a follower of Jesus, as a follower of Christ, I am to love unconditionally, right? Yes or no? Yes? Yes, okay. That's true. We're to follow unconditionally. So follow him and love people unconditionally. But we see what people are doing. We see what they're doing. We see the sin that they're involved in. And it's just like, I'm challenged. And we're living in a society right now where they're putting up a sense of unconditional love means you have to accept everything about me and everything I want to do. And the culture is heading down a river I'm not floating in. It's going in a different direction. But what about unconditional love? The fact is, the Bible speaks about unconditional love, but not about unconditional approval. Not about unconditional approval. And this is where we as Christians are challenged. How do we demonstrate godly love? And yet, how do we make it clear that there's not the approval for what we see? Now, people are going to respond entirely different. You know, these broadcast, these messages, they're recorded for accountability for you, the flock, because you need to judge what I say. So if you go back to the scriptures that we're looking at, it's very interesting. Judge not are the first two words in my Bible. Are they in your Bible?
Yeah.
Now, what type of punctuation comes after the word not? A period? A comma, okay? So, but the world says judge not, period, right? And the Bible says, wait, no, judge not, comma. There's more to it. We're not finished yet. And then it says, no, judge not. You can't say that. Jesus says judge not. He says, judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. So, the Bible is not communicating to us a prohibition against judging. That's not in the Bible at all. We have to make judgments. As your pastor, if I wasn't making judgments regarding what's going on out there, regarding God's word, regarding cults and other kinds of crazy things going on in and outside of the church, we would be a weak fellowship heading in a bad direction. So absolutely. As a matter of fact, even in the text that we're in right here, in verse 15 of chapter 7, Jesus again speaking says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. So he's saying, you better be heads up and make some judgments. He also says, you're going to be able to look at a tree. Is it bearing fruit or not bearing fruit? So we come back here to judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So we are called to make judgments, decisions. Absolutely, of course. I hope, Mom and Dad, that you're making some judgments in your home as you're raising your children. I hope you make judgments about what's acceptable and what's not acceptable for viewing and other things as well. I hope you're making those decisions. Hope you're looking and seeing. You got to make important decisions and judgments. But what Jesus is saying is that we have a problem. He says, here's the problem. He's saying, within the church, there are graceless criticism and judgments that are destroying a church body, your own family, friends, and others. Graceless criticism. And he's telling us, that's not acceptable. In other words, all of us want to help people, correct? I mean, I believe that God put it in our heart. I mean, I believe that you and I, we want to help people. We want to serve the Lord. But the Lord is saying something to us today. Now, many pastors, if they're looking for a Sunday passage, they're going to avoid this. Why? Because it's confrontational. I welcome it. I need what's in this word right here. I need God to open up the hood of my heart and to show me my sin and my error. I need that, and we need that. So when we're looking at this and examining it, it's important to realize, what kind of heart do I have? In other words, I want to have a heart that can help people. But Jesus says, good, you see that small sawdust, that speck in somebody's eyes, and you're concerned about wanting to help that person, which is good. But he says, time out. Time out. What's your motive for wanting to help? What's going on in your life? Are you in a place that you can really help? And I love the Lord. Again, he's with his disciples. He's at the beginning of the ministry. He's beginning to explain these kinds of things. And we could take it all in right now and receive from him what he has for us. And he says, you want to do that. Do any of you wear contacts at all? Some of you do. I don't. My wife does. We've been together almost 39 years. And so, like, if something's in her eye and she wears contacts, oh, and she just like, I can do it. I can imitate her. You know, it's like trying to find it and careful right there. And oh, and it comes out. And then she puts it on her hand. And then she goes like this. And then she goes like this. And then she's not winking at me. She's not winking at me. She's just like, and getting it, like it's getting all adjusted. I don't even think I ever put any fluids in my eye. You know, my eye doctor has, but I haven't. But I'm just really sensitive about that. And the Lord has taken an area. I can't see anybody. No. I know you're judging me. Why is he wearing that shirt anyways? Did anybody tell him how to fix his hair? I mean, you know, I'd get different frames if I was him. I mean, a little bit darker maybe or whatever else like that. I mean, I think that would be better. Why'd we have that same worship song again? Yeah, I don't know, I've heard that before. Yeah, I'll do this. That's what happens, right? So I'm just giving you kind of an illustration. The Lord is saying, our hearts, we need help. We need help, right? Okay, so. Oh, my. When we started about 25 years ago, when we came up here, we started a Bible study. And there was no financial support at all from any existing church, nor did we gather up people to support us financially. We trusted the Lord, and we still do. And I was picking up different side jobs and work, and I was working for this fellow that brings these live crabs into Whatcom County. He had this huge type of an aquarium that hundreds of live crab, Dungeness crab, go into, and they stay there for a day or two or three. Then we put them in boxes that are about 70 pounds, and then put them in a truck, and then I drive them to the Seattle airport and drop them off, and they go to different places, to restaurants and things like that. And I was doing all that at night, and we had a small two-bedroom apartment. We rented a garage, and then I arranged it so I can have a place to study, you know, so throw open the garage door of this rental place until the guy came around and says, "What are you doing?" I go, "I'm setting my office up." Because this is just for putting your junk in. You close it and leave. You can't, like, have an office in this place. I go, "Please? You don't understand what's going on. Our house is crazy right now. I have a Sunday message to give." But I'm telling you that it was really, really tough, tough times for all of us. And then Pam's grandmother, who lived in New Mexico, died, and she had this old car. It was a Delta 88 in the 70s somewhere. I mean, it was a big car, big. I mean, the front seat was like a couch. The thing was, it had levers that could, it actually had electrical things, you know. So I would use that, and it was an old beat up car. But we had somebody drive it out. I remember one time driving it, I got a flat tire and drove a, you know, another 15 miles, and I got a flat tire on the other side. I mean, there was just things that happened all the time. It was tough. It was a beat up car. And working in that crab place, I stunk all the time. So the girls would just call it the crab car. "We're not going to Dad's crab car, are we?" And their mother would say, "Yeah, and you're going with the crab." But she didn't say that. She might have. But anyways, there was this lady that attended the church at the time, and she came up to my wife. This is an ugly car, but it's what we have. It's a provision, you know. And she said to my wife, "I am so blessed that you drive the worst car. Your husband drives the worst car in church. I mean, I'm really happy that our pastor drives the worst car." And, you know, Pam came home and told me that one. She's told me a lot of things. A lot of women come to her and say things. And I'm thinking, just so you know, that's no measure of spirituality. All that was is that we're barely making it. We're holding on by a thin, thin margin. God is carrying us day by day, week by week. My wife is going through severe depression after leaving Seattle with the ministry and the fellowship and our kids and where they're at and the vibrancy of this to, like, what do we have? What are we going to do? I know it's your vision, and I support you as a wife, and she's there, and she has been 100% all the time, but with all of that, and someone says, "I'm sure glad you drive the worst car in the parking lot. It really makes me feel good. And I'm thinking, we're talking about just a lot of different things, and it's just like, what's all that about? And it comes back to what it's saying here. Why would you bring that kind of judgment or critical thing? Why not say, how are you doing? Can we get you a meal? You know, you need some tires for that car? Yeah, that'd be helpful, you know. But I'm just saying, within a body and within your families and our family, Jesus knows this. And he knows that our hearts, we need his help. Because he says here, the way that you handle things, the way that you judge, the way that you measure it, it'll be measured back to you. King David, a man after God's own heart, loving God, serving God, believing God. And there was a time that God called him out to war and the battle. He's the king, lead him. He stayed home. When he stayed home, he spied out Bathsheba, the beauty of Bathsheba, and he brought her to himself. They had sexual relationship. She became pregnant. He determined a plan, and that is to bring her husband in from the battle and set up the stage that her husband would have sex with her, therefore covering the pregnancy that he was the father of the child. Uriah came in and chose not to take any benefit out of loyalty to his men that were fighting. I'm not coming home and taking that kind of, although it's marital privilege, I choose not to, out of an honor and loyalty to my men that have not that privilege. I'm not going to take it. David got him drunk with thinking that that then might move him. No way. He stayed put. David then said, send Uriah back out to the front lines, put him in a place that he'll die and get killed. And they did that, and Uriah died. And then David, you know, takes on Bathsheba as the widow wife, trying to cover up everything. This cover-up went on for probably about a year or so. And what happened is this. Nathan the prophet comes to David and he says, hey, David, it's your kingdom. A situation came up. Need a little bit of insight, a little wisdom. How should we handle this situation, King David? You see, there's a man. He's got all this livestock, plenty of sheep. He's loaded. His neighbor next door only has one lamb. And that lamb, it's like a pet. It doesn't say it in the Bible. Probably slept on their bed at night. You know, they love this little lamb. The guy with all the livestock, he's having some friends come over, and he told his servants, reach across the fence, grab that little lamb from our neighbor and bring it in, and let's have that lamb for a meal for our friends. So Nathan told David this scenario, this situation. And David said, have that man killed. It's in 2 Samuel 12. Have him killed. You see, at that time, such a penalty, if someone did that, it would be actually not death. You'd repay four times what you stole. That's the consequence. But David, steeped in his own sin, and this is what happens now, just listen. When you hide your sin, when you keep that sin within, when you don't surrender, when we don't surrender that sin, we become more critical. We become more judgmental. We become more harsh and hard. And that's what happened to David. And he lowered the boom and have that man, have his life, and then also pay back four times. And Nathan the prophet said, the man is you. You're the man, David. And it crushed him. A man after God's own heart, King David. And that's what the Bible is speaking about. The Bible speaks about sowing and reaping. That the way that we measure out towards other people with a hard or harsh or critical negative spirit on judging things that have nothing to do with just, it's just your opinion. And there are matters that we have to talk through, but listen, this is what he's saying. Say, for example, that someone in our fellowship contacted me and said that husband says, you know, we're not doing well within our marriage, and we need some help. And he says, thank you for calling, and love to meet with you and your wife. And maybe he gave just a little bit more of specifics of why. So there's been some situations of why, and he says, thank you, we can talk about that. So I just want to let you know what happens for me, okay? This hasn't always happened in the beginning years. In the beginning years, you know, we're over 33 years now, but in the beginning years, it's like, I got the answer. Bring it in. La, 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 la. And it could be accurate. It could be true. My wife helped me out a lot because she has the compassion far greater than I have. And not that she's insightful with personal details of things. There's a confidentiality. However, many times she will share, I want to help you out. I want you to know a little bit more about their life, their world, or situations that I probably don't know and she knows. And she goes, I just want to bring a little bit of insight and perspective. And it helps me so much. But this is what I do by God's help through the years. I pray and I say, God, what we're talking about, I'm familiar. I've had that dust in my eyes before. I've had that splinter. I've had that pain. I know what we're going to talk about. I've had that pain, or I've had parts of what that would be. I know that pain. I feel that pain. I know what that's like. I know what they must be feeling. I know how hopeless it could possibly be. I know how discouraging it can be for them. Lord, so sorry. God, I want to help, but I need your help, Lord. God, there possibly could be a plank in my eye right now. There could be something in my eye right now, God. And I need your help. David later said, God, search my heart and try me. See if there's anything wicked in me. And friends, there usually is. There's usually a sense of, yeah, you just need to ask God for forgiveness. You need to call your wife and tell her you're sorry before you meet with these people. You need to represent me without hypocrisy. I want to use you, and there is some pain. And I want to use you, but you need to come to me now. Because the way that you measure it out to them, it's going to be measured back to you. And I want to receive any of you in the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. No heavy-handed condemnation and a sense of judgmental, well, how could you do that? Why did you do that? Oh, and all that. Look at, you already are feeling the pain of decisions made and consequences. We know that. You don't need to add to the pain. And in talking, there can be the reality of some decisions that were ungodly decisions that were made, or it can still be some ungodly things happening. And at this point, bringing the word of God and saying, thank you for coming. Here's what the Bible has to say. This is what the Lord has to say regarding this. His word brings light in a sense of judgment on what's going on, clarity for decisions that have to be made. Do you understand how that is? You want to see that take place. Are you following me? So this is what Jesus is speaking about when he's talking about judging. He's not saying don't judge. As a matter of fact, it would be a mistake. If you have a friendship with somebody in the body of Christ, it would be a mistake if you're aware of something that's destroying their life and others. It would be a mistake not to take the lead as the Holy Spirit would lead and say, if I can be of some help, I'd like to be of some help. To ignore it would be a mistake. Is this helpful? Okay. Now, as we're looking at this? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove this speck from your own eye, and look, a plank is in your eye. So we're living right now at a time where there is, you know, there was the Industrial Revolution and technology revolution, but there's a sexual revolution going on, dominating our society and culture. It probably started in the 60s, you know, with us in the 70s, but it is just steamrolling right now. And having to do with sexual relationships and our own state, same-sex marriage. And obviously, I don't agree with what the Bible is clear on that. But listen now. And regarding homosexual relationships, but listen. Within the body of Christ, we know what the Word of God says, and certainly we stand on God's Word. But as people talk to me that are in the world and they're wanting me to have this sort of, you know, vicious response towards people that are involved in immorality, I let people know what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the adultery in the church. I'm concerned about the pornography in the church. I'm concerned about the immorality in the church. I'm concerned about my own thought life. Because you know what I'm saying? In other words, I'm not compromising in any sense. But I think for us as believers in a church, he's saying, you know, you say one thing, but what's going on? I mean, there's a hypocrisy that's taking place. And I believe that the church, the body of Christ, will experience an incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God if we can get free from living carnally to living a spirit-filled life. Not a perfect life, we're not perfect, but in a sense, letting Christ dominate our lives more than he ever has. Let the Lord live in and through us. And at the same time, we must say goodbye to the critical, judging spirit that ruins fellowships, families, workplaces. And you can just think, we need to be men and women that use words to encourage one another on, to believe God's best for you. Regarding judge not, there's also a sense of condemnation. And it is true. It would be wrong, in my opinion, for any Christian to say, he went to hell. Condemnation. He went to hell. I don't know that. And I'm not sure that anybody else in this room or in this world knows the ultimate destination of an individual. I can say, I wish there was more of a testimony from their life. But the gospel was shared with them. They never really had a sense of a breakthrough with that. But I am not here to condemn that person. I'm not judging towards condemnation. That's not my prerogative. That's the Lord's, and he knows it. And again, I don't compromise on any of this, but he knows and he sees what we don't know. Because case in point, if we take the thief on the cross minutes before he's going to die, everyone around said he's going to hell and he's going to hell, and that's the Savior. And he's redeeming those that are not on a cross. And how wrong we would have been because something happened in the last moments. And I'm a person, as a pastor, that believes all the way to the end. Not giving up hope on anyone. Nobody. Not giving up hope because love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. That's where I come from. That's where we're at. And Jesus knows that. And he says, we want to move forward the second mile and beyond. But what will keep us is a judgmental heart, a judgmental spirit, a critical heart, a critical spirit. That's what he's saying. Looking at things in that kind of way. That's not the way. The way is, I want to help. I understand that it must be difficult. I've experienced the pain of a speck in my own eye. some aspect of that. I've asked God for his help to remove the plank from my own eye. I want to be used by God, and so do you. And that's why verse 5 says, let's not be hypocrites. And that's why it says, first, come to God and repent and say, God, please forgive me. You see, there's a scripture over in Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Galatians 6, 1. This idea of judgment, it's like he's the measure which you measure. So how do you measure out? I want to measure with grace. How about you? But that measure, and if it's not, that measurement, you see this measuring stick right here invisibly in my hand? That measuring stick, actually we're gonna make it into this shape. That measuring stick now that was like this, it's like this. It's a boomerang. You know what a boomerang is? You throw it, and it's supposed to come back to you. And that's what he's saying. The measuring is like a boomerang. Whatever you send out, it's going to come back right at you. We want to send out the grace of God. And so we don't want to be hypocrites. And we have verse 6 here we're going to look at in just a minute. And I think what we want to make sure before we move ahead, Lord, we don't want to be self-righteous. We want to experience your righteousness. If the sins of others do not break your heart, I would say you're living in a world of self-righteousness. Should break our hearts. Keep us tender. Watch yourself. Judging many times can be this. I'm going to size somebody up. Oh, did you hear about them? Do you know about them? Did you hear this? Going to size somebody up. You're going to think about it a little bit with a little bit of information. Not a whole lot. You're going to write them off and walk away. Because you're judging without even knowing what's going on in the world. Oh, I saw the pastor the other day. Yeah, where'd you see him? At the coffee shop. Did you say hi? Yeah, he said hi, but he really wasn't too friendly. Oh, wow. Wasn't too friendly? No. Yeah, sometimes he's not friendly. Yes, he's not a friendly guy. He acts friendly, but he's not friendly. I don't know. What's with him anyways? You understand what I'm saying? So you never knew that I just got a call that someone just died. And also, before I got to my car, I am going to have to meet with a couple who's going through a very difficult situation in their life. And then my wife called and the refrigerator's broken. And then, oh, hey, how you doing? Well, I didn't stand very long, did he, at all? And so you don't know. You don't have the perspective. You don't know what's going on. And you make a judgment about somebody. And it's just like, listen, judge one another based on your life, not on some isolated incidences. Look, again, just we need to be gracious to one another. Amen? Yeah. Gracious to one another. Finally, verse 6. What is that saying? Well, again, if we're not supposed to judge, why is verse 6 there? Do not give what is holy to the dogs. Cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. As the worship team comes up, I'll finish commenting about that last statement. In your life, in my life, we share Jesus Christ, don't we? We try to bring the gospel to people. You've shared the gospel with your family many times over, friends or whatever else there. And then when they see you, they look at you thinking, oh no, are you going to do it again? Are you going to do it again? I know Christmas is coming. You're going to invite me to church. I know they have a play now, so you're going to use those kids to get me to church. It's true. But anyways, here's what I believe the Word of God is saying to us. Here's what he's saying. God's gospel, the gospel of God, the jewels of the gospel, the greatness of the gospel. We share that gospel. We share it. But we realize that some people want to receive it. Some people might be interested or whatever. We want to pray for people. But for me personally, the way I look at that scripture is there are some people that are, it's just closed. There's just, you're not, you just, it would be not good to continue in that realm of bringing that good news. They've heard it. They know where you're at. So for me, I want to live just intently like Jesus. How you doing today? Coffee was great last week. Thanks for it. I appreciate that. You do such a great job here at the counter. Thank you so much. Okay, they already knew because the three other times I was looking for open doors, right? Like, eh, no open door. But I'm not going to back down. I'm going to just, I want to be more loving. I want to really represent Christ. I need to let it go. It's not my agenda. It's in God's hands. It's in his timing. And so he's saying, wait until there's an open door. Wait until there's an open door. And when there is, you'll have that opportunity again. Does that sound all right? Let's stand. Father, before we have this last worship song, we recognize, God, you're in the midst here. And for myself, as I admitted to in the beginning, just in a really, without really intentionally looking at a situation, I realized that I made a determination and a decision, and I had an attitude that was inappropriate. I didn't have the right heart and the right perspective. I was more concerned about me and my time frame and get going. And I ask your forgiveness for that. And maybe others of us here today, there's things that have come to our mind where we've been lacking the graciousness of the Spirit of God in our relationships to one another. And perhaps we've been too critical or too harsh or too demanding with our spouse and our children and with others, God, in the fellowship and family. We ask for your forgiveness even now, Lord Jesus. We don't want to be hypocrites. Take the plank out of our eye. Lord, we want to be used by you, but in a way that represents you. Cause us to be more fruitful with all of that. And also, for our own hearts, we started off with the statement, follow me. If you've been indulging too much into the world and not enough into following Jesus, may he encourage you today. If you've never given your life to Jesus, you would want to say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. There is no salvation in anyone but in you, Jesus, in Jesus Christ. Forgive me of my sins. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name.